On page 429, 430 in the Hebrew, it's a little above halfway. So the first one lies b'machamachar with a dot behine, afshigiloze. And in the English, it would be probably now this manifest is in their mind and heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I could imagine, yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're talking about the importance of mitzvahs specifically. And he's been talking about 613 mitzvahs and how the 613 mitzvahs correspond to our bodies as the 613 body parts. And that their 613 commandments correspond specifically to the 613 soul powers. And he said last time, but from there they break up into little tiny sparks with all the little details that go into each and every mitzvah. So now we continue. V'hine av shigilo yizel yide oisa keter v'hamitzvah hu shavu l'chol nefesh miyisrael b'derach klal. So generally speaking, you put on tefillin, and your tefillin are kosher, and you have them sitting right in the right place. What you accomplish is exactly the same thing that Moshe would accomplish by putting on his tefillin, being that they would be kosher and they would be put in the right place. Meaning, if you're doing what it is that Hashem wants, all the different details that is, they are explained in the Shulchan Aruch, for example, which all those details are expressions of Hashem's desire, and you happen to be fulfilling Hashem's desire, it really doesn't matter if you're Moses or a street cleaner.
Yeah.
Because you're all doing it the same. You're fulfilling what Hashem wants. The guy who's pushing a broom can't do tefillin any better. Moshe can't do tefillin any less. Because in that aspect, in that regard, tefillin are tefillin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
What about Mahura?
Hidurim help. Yes. Okay? They kind of like it's like the fine tuner on the TV.
Hmm.
They don't have fine tuners on TVs anymore.
I remember them though.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I have to pick I have to pick a common example since
you have to work
we have digital now, our signals can't be tuned.
Correct.
But, yes. You know,
for all those who still play with making crystal radios in their basements, yeah.
Right. Okay. So you have the.
That was a good.
You have the general. You're right. The general God derivation of godliness is true, and this happens to make a better connection. Okay. So you say that the plug might be a stronger plug, but you're still getting the electricity flowing through.
That's like gold connectors versus copper.
I guess that would probably be the case. Okay, I think copper makes a better conductivity than gold. No.
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 Okay.
Gold is superior. Far
gold
superior.
Gives you a fast. You can have more signal go through faster.
Okay. So far superior, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not a metallurgist. Anyway.
Engineer.
So even though the Atri ki Torah achas amishpat echad lekulana, because how many Torahs are there? How many halachas are there? There's one Torah. Everything, it's every each mitzvah, and each mitzvah has its set of halachas, and there's only one of them. There's not two codes of Jewish law out there. You know, for you guys, this is the code of Jewish law, and for you guys, this is the code of Jewish law. No, it doesn't work that way. Afal pi kein b'derech prat, but nonetheless, ein kol hanefashos haruchos haneshamos shavos me'inyan zeh. When it comes to actually performing the commandments, it seems that there are certain things in which each, he says nefesh ruach neshama, which means each part of your soul seems to get more into the groove in. Lefi esuz man gilgulim uboim v'olam hazeh. According to whatever the situation, your environment is, the time, whatever happens to be, whatever is warranted. And a lot of that has to do with what does your neshama need? You know, there's this, they talk about women who are pregnant and eating when they feel, I gotta have. So it says this, now whether it is a wise tale, but let's talk about it in the Gemara, that if a woman desires a specific food, it is the fetus telling her, I have a deficiency in,
right,
and I need to eat such.
Right.
Okay, how true that happens to be, Vesach Nesh, but we know that women do get cravings.
Indeed.
Okay. And similarly also, I mean, we think every time I pass by a bakery and I have a craving for a piece of cake, it's my neshama is telling me I need a piece of cake, right?
Yes.
Yeah, not exactly.
No?
Okay.
No. Unless it's an oatmeal cookie.
No. Anyway, thank you. But according to the environment, the way it is that your soul could be drawn towards doing one mitzvah over another mitzvah.
Hmm.
It could very well be that there's some mitzvahs that you just don't like to do, which is fine. You're not allowed to, I mean, you're allowed to not like doing a mitzvah. You still have to do the mitzvah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You could say, I don't like doing this, but okay, good. Don't like it and do it.
And
because
do it
actually,
well.
And do it well. Because if you don't like it, if you're not enjoying it, actually you're going to kind of get more credit for it because now you've got to force yourself to it. It's like that old Jewish neurosis that we have looming around. Oh, you don't like it? Fine. Okay, like the story with the Tzemach Tzedek. The man who said, I don't like learning. And the Tzemach Tzedek said, what am I supposed to do when I do like learning?
Yeah.
Right. You don't like to learn, and you're going to learn, so you're going to get the extra credit for not only is it that you're learning, but for breaking yourself to make yourself go learn.
Mm-hmm.
Me, says the Tzemach Tzedek, that I'm running to go learn because I love learning,
right.
I don't get that. I get the credit for learning, but I don't get the credit for breaking myself because I naturally love to learn.
Mm.
So if a person doesn't like to do a mitzvah, okay, it could very well be that your neshama isn't lacking in that mitzvah. Now, the neshamas are not lacking, our neshamas in present day are not lacking in a whole ton of mitzvahs because there's a whole ton of mitzvahs that we can't do. Anything having to do with a Beis HaMikdash or with a king or with a prophet or with living in Israel for those who live outside of Israel, etc., etc., etc. All those mitzvahs, you think Hashem doesn't know that we're not doing them? And why Hashem, and Hashem knows why it is that we're not doing them? And after 120 years, so no one is going to ask you, why is it that you didn't give truma?
Right.
They're not going to even bother asking that question. Of course you didn't give truma because it's improper to give truma. In fact, to say that I'm going to separate this and give this to a Kohen and call it truma, you're doing more things wrong than you're doing right.
Yeah.
Okay, so Hashem knows all that because Hashem put us in that situation.
Designed the situation.
So, but then he says, but then you have those mitzvahs that people really look forward to doing.
Mm-hmm.
Which those are usually the cyclical mitzvahs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Some people like eating matzah, some people like eating sitting in a sukkah, some people like doing Simchas Torah, some people like Purim, some people like Rosh Hashanah, some people even get into Yom Kippur. I mean, you know, it says, you know, some people, these are what people get into. Okay? As the question is it seen in the Gemara, can I resolve? Avuch b'may havizor tvei, amalei b'tzitzis. There's a bull session going on, if you pardon the expression, in the Gemara. A bunch of yeshiva students are sitting around, and what are they talking about? They're talking about, which mitzvah did your father excel in?
Mm.
And one bacher said, tzitzis. Okay, you familiar with the story? You remember the story?
I am not.
I told you the story many years ago already.
I've only become for 3 years.
Okay,
so
it is. You can. Thirty-six. Just make sure that I've got the. It's in the back anyway. At least you weren't brachas. But anyway, so so he said tzitzis. So they said, okay, fine, tell us the story. So he says, my father is a yeshiva bacha already, was very meticulous in tzitzis. He was constantly checking them, constantly making sure that the talus was hanging properly, because if it bunches up, you have a problem with the shear of an amma on an amma, so you have to make sure that it's straight, and the tzitzis are hanging down off the corner, and they shouldn't be knotted or tangled, the string shouldn't be frayed. So he was constantly looking and checking his tzitzis to make sure that they were absolutely perfect.
Mm.
So it once happened that he heard in the next town over, there was a woman of the evening who charged 400 zuz for her services. 400 zuz is enough for a middle class family to live for 2 years. It's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
So he was thinking to himself, what could you possibly get for 400 zuz? How could a person charge that much for that?
Okay.
And so he put his nickels together And how we did that, I don't know, because when I was a yeshiva bachar, I barely had money for toothpaste.
Right.
And he was able to put together 400 zoos, and he traveled to the next town over, found out where this woman's establishment of business was, and put his money down and went in. And he was led into this hall, and it was the most sensory, stimulating environment he had ever been in. There were precious carpets hanging on the walls that were like beautiful pictures, you know, just beautiful carpets. And the air was filled with beautiful incense and flowers. And there was a small ensemble playing beautiful music. And there was a table laid out with delicacies of all kinds. And in the middle of all this was this massive bed with huge pillows and drapes and curtains, etc., etc. And in the middle of the bed was the most beautiful woman he had ever seen in his life. And so he said, okay, this is worth it. And so he began to get undressed. And when he went to take off his towel, his cotton, so the tzitzis on the right side got tangled, front and back. Now he's not just going to pull them off, he's got to stand there very meticulously, separating them, pulling them apart, and finally gets them apart, and the tzitzis on the left side are tangled. And so he very meticulously pulled he didn't pull them apart, he separated them very meticulously, very careful, not to break a string, not to do anything wrong to the tzitzis. And then, as he went to take off his tzitzis, so for somehow, instead of it taking straight up, so his hands got crossed over, and he started strangling himself with the talus cotton. So he started pulling, so he's pulling on it, in the meantime, the tzitzis are flapping up and hitting him in the face. Okay? And suddenly it hits him.
What am I doing?
What am I doing here?
Where are tzitzits?
What am I doing here?
Right.
Okay? So he put his clothes back on and he went home. Okay? And there is no refunds in this institution.
No, I know.
You put your money down. That's it.
It's we not don't know, a money back
yet. We don't know who you are.
Right.
You put the money in. That's it. We don't know you.
Exactly.
Okay? And he goes back to town. Now, this woman is devastated. Nothing like this has ever happened to her. She thinks, I'm losing my edge.
Yes.
And she cancels their appointments for the rest of the afternoon, and she falls into a depression. And she's not getting out of bed. She's just like beside herself. And 2 weeks go by, and she's not out of bed. And her friends say to her, listen, you can't go on like this. You know, something happens like this, you know, something happens. She says, why don't you go over to the next town? And they have this Jewish rabbi dude, and maybe he can explain to you what happened over here. Okay, so she says, fine. She gets dressed, she drags herself over to the next town, she pulls into the yeshiva over there, and tells them the shorish that she wants to speak to the rabbi. The rabbi's in the middle of a class, and he says, there's this woman from the next town who wants to speak to you. So he stopped the class and he went out and he said, what can I do? How can I help you? He tells him the whole story. And he says, the rabbi listens and says, sounds like it could have been one of my students. That's what he said.
Knows
the students, okay. And he explained to her that when a person does a mitzvah, so not only is it that you're doing the mitzvah, but the mitzvah is doing you, basically. Okay, you take care of the mitzvahs, and the mitzvahs will take care of you. Yeah, and he went into it. It's a longer explanation than the Gemara. I'm not going to go into it now. But she was so impressed, she said, "Rabbi, I want to become Jewish."
Right.
Okay, and he accepted her as a proper Ger's convert thing contender over there, and she converted, and she got married. And she married this bacher who walked out on her. Okay, which is an interesting story because the guy who's telling the story is now saying who his mother was. But, you know, so. But I guess he was kind of proud of his mother, you know, so. So, but we should all be proud of our mothers. So
he gets an neshama.
So, why was he so meticulous in the performance of tzitzis? Because that's what his neshama naturally felt was missing in his avodas Hashem. Mm. You know, most of us have been here before. And if we've been here before, it's because of a lack in something we didn't do or something we did do in previous lifetimes. So we have to come back and we have to fill in the gaps. And very often the Almighty will do us a favor and cut us some slack instead of sticking the Yetzirah in front of us, which is going to say and try and say, no, 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 don't do that one. That's the only one you got to do. Don't do that. You do that when you're finished. Sorry, don't, you know, that's what the Yetzirah normally does. Sometimes the Almighty leads us down a path that says, listen, your neshama really does need this. To fix it up, to keep it, to charge it the way it's supposed to be charging, that it should be working on all cylinders. So you really need to be doing this. So the person feels that. It's a beyond subconscious. It's more than that. So that the person now has the ability of illuminating the soul. That's why it says in this statement from the Gemara, what's the expression over here? Where is it? B'mai havi zahir tvei. The word zahir means careful. Okay, there are other words that mean careful. Okay, the word zahir is related to the word zohar, which means shine, illuminate. Mm. So, which mitzvah did your father illuminate the most? Would be the way that you would now translate this question from the Gemara. Because this person's neshama, because you have to remember also that one of the reasons why we're engaged in physical actions is to rectify, to purify the physical world. And so this person is put in a certain place, and they need, and the reason why they're in that specific place is in order to fix up that specific place. And that's true with each 7 billion plus people in this world.
Right.
That the reason why they happen to find in themselves in that Dalet Amos is because that's the area that they need to improve.
Right.
So what do they need to do? They need to illuminate that with godliness. And how are they going to illuminate it with godliness? Well, for Jews, the best easiest way is by doing mitzvahs. Because since you're using, as we said last time and the time before, since you're using physical things, so you're now elevating these lower kingdoms that are the composition of these physical things, so that you're affecting the entire spectrum of creation in the physical realm as well, especially. And that then is giving an extra charge to the neshama, which is why the neshama, which is one of the major reasons why the neshama is put in this world. So if you do have some mitzvah that in which you excel, so it's an indication that's what your neshama needs to be doing. And it could very well be that those mitzvahs that you really don't like doing, you may have done them as best as you could in previous lifetimes. Your neshama is saying, I did that already, I'm done, finished. I don't want to do them anymore. I finished them as much as I'm going to get out of them, because once you hit 100% on doing a certain mitzvah, that's all there is to it. You do get the mitzvah of doing it. Yes, you're getting that. But once the person's neshama is like filled with a certain specific mitzvah, they don't have to do it anymore. Just like if you put on tefillin this morning, do you have to put on tefillin this afternoon?
No, you can't.
No, you could. You could put on a bracha 3 hours later. You could 3 hours later. You could say a bracha.
I didn't know that 3 hours.
Yeah. But what?
There's not chayav.
Do you have an extra mitzvah because you did it?
No.
The mitzvah is to put on tefillin today.
Right.
So you put on tefillin today twice. Okay, and you didn't even say a bracha levatala. Do you get extra for it? I don't think it's a nice thing, but you know there are people who put their tefillin on, left them on a whole day, but.
I struggle to keep them on as long as possible.
The Rebbe never went on a campaign to get people to put on tefillin twice.
No.
You know, so I'm not going to say there's no point, but anybody who on a regular basis would say take some time out in the afternoon and put on another pair of tefillin, just like that because they wanted to put on another pair of tefillin, I'd kind of think they're kind of weird, you know. like what are you doing this? Why do you do this?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if, again, like if you want to wear wool tzitzis instead of cotton tzitzis, or you know, make sure that your beged is 26 inches and not just 22. I mean, you know, that kind of stuff. Okay,
but this can't be included. The mitzvah of learning can't be included in this that you're talking about.
Well, you're supposed to behegisa b'yom v'layla. Your minimum daily requirement of learning Torah per day is all day.
Right. So I'm saying it's like it's not that you could have fulfilled that quote unquote fulfilled that mitzvah in some other lifetime and not be chayav to do it in this one.
Well, it could very well be. Not that I'm going to second guess God. But it could very well be that a person could come down into this world and be such a person who's illiterate or has a learning disability and doesn't have the ability to learn.
Okay.
And is therefore spending his time doing other mitzvahs, not engaged in learning.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to say, well, that might be an excuse why this person shouldn't learn, because that person still has to learn.
Sure.
But it could very well be that why is it that this person doesn't have any type of a netiya, a leaning towards, or a desire to get involved with learning, could be, put that word in italics,
could be
that in previous lifetimes he learned all he needed to learn for his neshama.
It's an interesting aspect. Okay. I've never heard this particular bent on this.
That's what I'm saying. It could be. We have no idea.
No, I know, but I mean, particularly I've heard the opposite. It particularly whatever you seem to try to fight to do, that's probably what you need to do.
Right, understood.
Yeah,
we've said that.
Yeah,
because that's Yetzer Hara.
Right.
Okay.
So I guess it could be either way.
Yeah. So here it is. You really want to do it. You want to do the mitzvah.
Right.
The Yetzer Hara is not getting out of the way. What does that mean?
It means what you need to do.
Yeah.
So. Definitely.
It's not bothering.
Even the Yetzer Hara at that point is saying, "Well, no, we've got to."
Sure, go ahead.
This guy's got to do this one.
Yeah, right here.
You know, so the middle ground.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where the Yetzer Hara really fights. So.
Yeah.
Because it could be so much so when you use the word zahir, meaning to shine.
Yeah.
It could very well be that this person is so zahir, so shiny, so illuminated in doing the mitzvah that he just blows the Yetzer Hara out of the water.
Mm. Right here.
Okay, remember the Yetzer Hara is like darkness, and if you have a lot of light, so it kills the darkness. So it could very well be that this person, with the way that he did it, tzitzis, it just, Yetzer Hara had absolutely no play. Obviously, he had a Yetzer Hara for something else.
Right, but he couldn't affect that area.
But the tzitzis, no.
Right, not here. Okay.
Yeah. V'kein ein kol hadereis shavim, and every generation is different.
Hmm.
Okay, you have the early generation.
The generation is different. That's a huge statement.
Sure.
There.
What were they doing 2,000 years ago? What was the main thing to do?
Learn. End of story. Learn.
Okay. And 200 years ago, what's the main thing to do? Daven.
Right.
And now, 200 years later, now in 20 whatever, what's the main thing to do? Is to do. And not only to do, but to get those people who aren't doing to do.
To do. Mm.
So our tafki, it's now. Right. 2,000 years ago, did people need to do, and did people need to get other
of
people
course,
to
yeah,
do?
Sure,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
but the emphasis there was learning.
Uh-huh.
You had to learn because then the Torah was in its the Torah Shebal Peh was in its infancy,
right?
And you
right.
needed to have preservation for it. It needed to be concretized,
right.
Okay, and now 200 years ago, so people needed to daven because they needed to have experienced this exchange and this connection to Hashem,
right?
But now, so people were in the techno generation, and our brains don't work that slow. We can sit and daven. So this is okay. If you can't sit and daven, good. Go do something good.
Hmm.
Go work at it. Like we said at the end of Agaris Tshuva, that the ultimate way of doing tshuva is just do more than you did yesterday.
Hmm.
Just do more. You did? Okay, good. Do more. Hmm. And even more than that is to get other people to do more.
Yeah.
Okay, that is what makes our generation unique than to say the generation of the Gemara and the Mishnah.
Yeah.
Okay, or the Gemara or the time of the Chassidim of the Alter Rebbe.
You know, when you say just do it, the doing is a yid walking around with yarmulke and tzitzis. It's amazing the effect. I walked into a store this afternoon. I was working over in Hazel Park, and this fellow walks by with his, you know, 45, 50 year old guy with his son. He looks at me and says, "Are you Jewish?" You know, guy's shirt, shorts and t-shirt, you know, yeah, blonde hair, mustache. I said, yes. He said, praise God. And he kept walking.
Can't get down for that.
Okay.
I mean, you know.
You just glory be. Sure, you need a little reminder there, you know. You're in Hazel Park, yeah, Hazel Tucky.
Yes, Hazel.
Was it a hardware store?
I mean, no, I was working. I was doing work at a grocery store.
Okay.
So I walked by. I said, praise God. Okay, good.
Okay.
You know,
your rabbi's telling you to do that. How long did it make? Did you grab your attention? It grabbed your attention over here. Okay, so
I had something this week. I was at a store. An obviously non-Jewish person came up to me and they said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Thank God." And they paused and they said, "You're right. Thank God. You're right. Thank God. That's great. I agree. Thank God for me too." And then that was, we were supposed to say that?
Yes.
Of course.
Absolutely.
And they thank you. Perfect. That's good.
They don't want to be out. Ha adam, just like you look at a person's body. Kol ever yesh loy pu'ula pratis umiyuchedis. Each body part has a specific function. And the reason why each body part has a specific function is because of the composition of that body part, together with the specific soul faculty, which can now, because of the composition of that specific body part, be enclosed in that body part. Like, for example, Ayin L'Rois L'Oizon Lishma. Your eye can see because the whole structure of the eyeball, with the lens, with the cornea, with the iris, with the retina, the rods, and all that stuff, with the optic nerve,
sure,
all that stuff over there, now become a tool for that part of the neshama which corresponds to sight.
Sight, okay.
And the same thing with the ozone, with the ear.
Right.
You got the ear lobes, and then you have the middle ear and the inner ear, and you have the otic bones and the otic nerves and the eardrums and all that stuff going on over there. Those are now the tools by which the ability to hear of the neshama is able to express itself.
Right.
And we know that the soul, the proof that a soul has its own specific powers separate from the body, is that a blind person can have sighted children. If it would be that a blind person's soul had no ability to see, so he could not pass that on to the next generation.
Right.
But since you do have blind people who have sighted children, it tells us that the blindness is because of a lack of a proper tool for the soul to be able to convey sight.
Right.
Okay? So the body part works together with the soul part of each specific body part. So kach b'chol mitzvah, and so too it is with every single mitzvah. You have just like you have the neshama, which neshama is a general vitality for the whole entire body. So you have also the mitzvahs as a general corpus of desire, of Hashem's desire. Mm-hmm. And then each mitzvah, this general body of mitzvahs breaks into specific details, which are expressed and done through the specific powers of the neshama. Even though we know that every single soul has to come back again to do all the mitzvahs. 613 mitzvahs is too much for anybody to do in one lifetime. The Rizal says on average, 4 times it takes for a person to do mitzvahs.
Really?
Yes, to do all of the mitzvahs, which would indicate that, well, since we're so close to the era of Mashiach coming, that if anybody had to have done the mitzvahs involving a Beis HaMikdash, etc., well, they would have been here already. Sure. Because you're not going to do those mitzvahs again until Mashiach comes, and when Mashiach comes, it's too late for it to count. That doesn't count on your score sheet. when Mashiach comes. Any mitzvah that you do after Mashiach comes is because, well, that's what you need to be doing, but you're not making the world a better place because the world is already as good as it is.
Right.
You're not making your neshama any better or your body any better right. because when Mashiach comes, that's as good as it gets.
Right. You're still making a decision. It's not, you have free will.
Shvach HaMais is on the free will.
Right. Is it possible not?
Did you have a choice not to breathe the last minute?
No.
But you did. Okay.
Well, the truth is, I did some contemplation on this thought the other day. You know, it says everything's in the hands of heaven except for the fear of heaven.
Yes.
All right. The bottom line is if whatever you're doing, if you bring to mind God during the issue, now it becomes yours. All right.
Okay.
But in that time, you're surrendering yourself to God.
Right.
So in essence, everything's in the hands of heaven.
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
It's whether or not you're consciously participating.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you have to remember also, like, it's divine providence that we're not offering sacrifices.
Sure,
right now.
Agreed. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so we can't do those
100%.
Misses. And the misses that we could do, those are the misses that Hashem said you could do.
Right, exactly.
And we talked about this like 2 weeks ago, three weeks ago. And the sins that a person does, it's the only sins that a person does are the sins that Hashem wants him to do.
Right.
Because if not, then he wouldn't do them.
Right.
You can't say, well, does Hashem want... Hashem's not going, oh, no, this guy did something I didn't want to happen. Right. So it's an impossibility.
Exactly.
Because that would make the person stronger than God.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you're right. Yeah. We have, to quote, yes.
Versus gave the ability to do...
If Hashem did not want you to do it, it would not happen.
Oh.
You see, I have to put it in that context. That's why I say Adam.
It's not licensed to go do bad.
No, you can't say you can't say, well, God, I'm going to do this bad thing now because
God wants me.
God's going to want you. Proof, I'm able to do it.
Right.
No, that's
no. That helps.
You're talking some serious Gehenna now coming up on that one.
Can't do it.
There's a lot of cleansing going on.
But looking back, for example, at Adam Arishan, what would the book have looked like if Adam hadn't eaten the fruit and Chava would have said, "Told the snake go jump."
Yeah.
So what would the book have looked like? So Adam would have been created. They would have sat around for 3 hours. They would have gone into the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. Mashiach would have come. They would have lived happily ever after. So the book would have read Once Upon a Time. They lived happily ever after. What kind of book is that?
Yeah.
So God said,
"Short and sweet.
Let's stuff that apple into this guy's mouth and see what happens now."
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
That's a quandary. Then the punishment's hard to understand. But it's punishment,
the punishments are not punishments.
Punishments are not punishments.
The punishments
natural,
are consequences, results
consequences.
Of.
Right.
And even the consequences are merely to
help you.
Are merely an improvement. Merely to make us improve. Help us improve. Help us change.
Okay, I mean, even, I don't know sure about that, but because if I push you, the consequence is that you are pushed. Not the punishment is that you are pushed.
Agreed,
it's a natural consequence. Yes.
All right, but granted, the master of the events is also master of the consequences too.
Yeah, agreed. So,
if the entire business is done for our benefit, then it's all for our benefit.
True. Okay, that this person has to go through that cleansing process. We talked about this when we talked about the Gerusha Tshuva. So, yeah, that's because Hashem says that this person would be better off by it.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed.
It's tough to be the Nafa.
It's huge. Okay. The more you chew that piece of meat, the bigger it gets.
Yes. No. So you're going to paint yourself into a corner and just
it's way
hard. Either you have to go up and accept it or you come out on Apocorus from the corner. Yes.
100%.
Okay, so you've been here. Mekomakom lo nitzra ella la'adifa v'zehira z'zehiras yisira b'yeser seis v'yeser ois kafulam u'chafelos l'mayla mayla m'zehira shar mitzvahs. But so what happens is why is this all happening? Is in order that there's some sort of great advantage and some sort of great diligence with more power and with more might doubled and redoubled higher and higher than the diligence that he expressed in other mitzvahs. Is because this is what's warranted, what's needed right now.
Right.
That's why the person has, that's why he could ask the question, having mitzvahs mizahir today. Which mitzvah is he more zahir? Which mitzvah is he more careful? Which mitzvah is he more illuminating in?
Okay.
Because that's the one that needs to get done right now. I should put him into this world because there's this portion of the world that needs to be illuminated. It needs to be done in this manner, and he's the one who gets to do it.
Yeah.
V'zeu she'amar b'may havi zar tvei. That's what it says. Not which one was he zayir, and which one was he careful. It says which one was he more careful. That means to say that in all the mitzvahs he's careful.
Right.
But in this mitzvah he's more
excels.
Careful. He excels. In a yisrun ha'or has zeh ha'prati l'neshamas pratis. So this advantage that this specific soul has through the performance of this specific mitzvah, or even this specific detail of this mitzvah, ain't a bechinas das. It's not understood. We don't know why this has to be this way. Because this is now you're going to do that, you're second guessing God.
Yeah, let's not go there.
Why is it that I have to do this mitzvah? No. Why is it that God put me in this place, specifically in these Dalet Amos, with this physical thing, in order to make the physical world better? So, who knows?
Yeah.
I can answer the question on a large, on a magnanimous scale. Because in the great scheme of creation, this is the missing piece.
Exactly.
And you're the only one. You hold the lock to put in that missing piece.
Right.
You hold the key, excuse me. El lamayla b'v'chinas hadas. It's not within the realms of knowledge. It's beyond the scope of knowledge. Shekach olam, so which means that if a person can relate to Hashem beyond reason, so then it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Okay? If you can somehow remove the parameters of your intellect from your thinking and relate to Hashem in a supra-rational way.
Yeah.
Which he talked about this in the 40s and he talks about it. I'll talk about it a little bit in Shara and Agera Sechuva.
It can be done.
Let me know and I'll call you Rebbe. Okay? So then the person would be able to relate and say, oh yeah, I got it, because the Zohar promises us Leis Machshava Tefisa Beklal, no thought can grasp Hashem, Avol Tefasta Beru'usa Deliba, but you can grasp Hashem from the depth of your heart. Which means if you're going past intellect on beyond zebra, relating to Hashem in this core essential way, so then everything makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Like I say, teach me how to do it, please.
I'm going to do 5 seconds like that.
Yes.
Did I do it?
No. Okay. And what's a good example of this? Good example of this is a lot. Okay? There are certain things have to get done. And you can't decide which one you're going to do.
Okay.
So you cast a lot that this isn't going to be done in this way. Like, for example, on Yom Kippur, that they had 2 identical goats, and how did they choose which goat got offered and the blood got taken into the Holy of Holies and the other one got pushed off a mountain? They did a lottery. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the casting of the lots doesn't make any sense. It's not according to rationale.
Yeah.
All things considered equally, you know, so it doesn't make any difference as far as that is concerned.
Right.
But when you cast a lot, that's emphasize that Hashem, this is what Hashem for sure wants in an unintellectual manner. Because why did the lot come up that way? The only reason why the lot came up that way is because that's the way Hashem wants the lot to come. That's why the whole deal, why Purim is called Purim.
Right.
You could call it everything else. You could call it, what do they call it in English? The Feast of Esther.
Yes.
Okay? Yeah. So call it, you know, something, you know, Chag HaEsther or something like that. You know, but they call it Purim. Specifically, why? Because some anti-Semite decided that he's going to throw lots to pick a day to see which one would be the one that he could get to kill all the Jews. Says, look at Haman was a master with magician and stuff like that. And he knew, he was all into the idolatry stuff. And he knew, looking back at our Bible, that the Jews aren't just going to, Hashem's not going to just let them roll over and die.
Right.
You got to get Hashem on your side.
Right.
So he figured, you know what? We're going to throw a lot. We'll let Hashem pick the day.
Mm.
This is the day that Hashem is picking to allow the Jews to get killed. He didn't realize that this is the day that Hashem is picking in order to get him killed. But, you know, as far as he's concerned, he's picking a day. God is picking the day, and it's true, God picked the day.
God picked the day.
Okay, yes. And because of the day that Haman cast, that's the day that we have Purim. Actually, the day after, but that's why because Purim is directly a direct relationship because of that. Exactly 1 month before before Pesach. So that we can have these whole things, make all kinds of drushes about Geula and Geula, these type of things, you know. So it was, and it's the way to show that this is the way God wants it. And there's really no way to argue about it. Like in the Parsha of Pinchas, when they shows the land, Al pi hagaral yichalakah. So right, you have to divide it by the goro.
Right.
There was nobody complaining and saying, "Hey, how come I'm up on the mountain and you get to be in the valley?"
Yeah.
Nobody opened up their mouth. We don't see anybody complaining. The book of Joshua or the Shoftim, they could have complained.
Yeah.
It says everybody accepted. Sure. This is the piece of land that God wants me to have.
Right.
It's the best I'm going to do with it.
Right.
Okay, right. So now, same thing also, when we're talking about doing mitzvahs, and which mitzvah we want to do the most, is there a reason for it? Oh, absolutely.
Sure.
How are you going to connect to the reason as to why it is that you have to do this mitzvah more than any other mitzvah specifically? Well, if you really want to know, then you're going to have to go beyond your intellect and relate to Hashem on a very soulful, heartfelt manner and be able to tap into this divine consciousness from the depth of the heart. And then maybe, just maybe, you'll be able to figure out what's going on. But even then, there's no guarantees.
Yeah.
And thus ends chapter 7. To be continued.